Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to begin this morning. Acts chapter 2. Glad to hear have visitors with us. We're certainly glad to have you with us. And hope you might come back and study anytime that you can. We'll be meeting this Wednesday night at 7. Bible classes for all ages. Encourage you to come and be with us for that as well. Glad those that are sick. Been a lot of things going on. But slowly people getting a little better and immune system strengthening up a little bit. It's really glad to have those back that weren't very well. We started, I guess it would have been 3 weeks ago, last time Carl and I were here before all those, before the meeting happened and the baby. And we started a series of just ways and things we can do to hopefully improve our worship. You hear a lot of things on the internet, you see a lot of things on Facebook. People just, they'll say, y'all just didn't get anything out of that worship service. And it begs the question, well, what did you put in to that service? Because worship is not passive. It's something that we actively engage in. And if we can engage in it better, our worship to God is better. That's a serious thing. Because of what we studied this morning, it's a fearful thing when we come into the presence of the Almighty God. Israel saw that. Moses got that. And what the Hebrew writer wanted us to recognize is, we have even greater blessings, greater responsibilities. And if we can improve our worship, how wonderful would that be? So we're looking at some activities that please and honor God. We get blessings from them, but that's because God designed it that way. But the key is to honor and revere Him and remember who He is. And if we can be better at that, certainly, we want to worship our God the best that we can. And we looked in our last study, we looked at ways and things that we can hopefully do to improve our worship in song. What I want us to do today is look at how we can improve our worship in prayer. That's an authorized way, an authorized activity we do as a collectivity. Prayer is a powerful tool that the truth is we probably don't avail as much as we should. I think all of us would agree we could pray more and we can be better at it. And hopefully that's what this will do for us. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, it might be some of your memory work. What you've memorized about Acts 2:42 is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that might be the extent of our memory work. We get halfway through it and kind of go on to something else. But keep reading. They continued steadfastly. This would have been close to 3,000 souls who gladly obeyed the word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking in bread and in prayers. Prayer was a big part of the early Christians' lives, and it ought to be in ours as well. So there's a lot of things, hopefully, a lot of applications that we can make. We're going to focus toward the end, specifically on our public actions that we do together, how we can improve in that, hopefully. But before we do that, let's just review a couple of things and let's get some reminders about prayer and the blessing of it. Turn to Revelation 4. Some observations to remind ourselves about the beauty of prayer, the wonder of it, the greatness of it. Let's remember where it is that we go. When we pray, we're going to the very throne of God. The very God we talked about this morning. That reverence and do, and reverence, and the obedience. Remember where we are. Revelation 4 and 5, just a beauty of a description. Symbolic language, obviously, but it's probably the best picture we got of what heaven will be. Look in verse 2 of chapter 4. John on Patmos, and the curtain opens up, and here's the scene. I was in the spirit. I was in a trance. And behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And you know who that one sitting on the throne is. It's that incredibly powerful God that we spoke about this morning that ought to take our breath away. He's on His throne. Verse 4. And around that throne were 24 thrones, and upon the seats were 24 living creatures clothed in white raiments. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the thrones proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Does that sound familiar? Lightnings, threatenings, thunder. We're in the presence that was so fearful this morning in Exodus 19, right? Do we realize where we are? Verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal in the midst of the throne with these four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. Look at verse 8. The four beasts had each of them six wings with them and their eyes, and they do not rest day or night saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They fall down, verse 10, before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, and they say, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. For your pleasure they are and were created. Can you put yourself there? Here's this, all these created beings, these heavenly beings, and they themselves bowing before the throne, saying, You are worthy to receive praise and honor and glory. And it mentions how they were crowned. But in verse 10, it says that they take their crowns off and throw them at the throne. The idea is only you are worthy of the crown. You are the one who is worthy, verse 11, to receive glory and power and honor. Look at chapter 5, verse 6. You know what happened as that lamb came and took the book out of his hand and then takes a seat next to that throne. Verse 6, Behold, lo, in the midst of the throne and the living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. We just sang about that lamb. We just remembered the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God sitting at the right hand of that throne we just read about. Where all the praise and glory is being offered up day and night, right? Look at verse 13. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Do not forget where we are when we pray. We're going to the throne of God. The throne of the God we looked at this morning that ought to bring reverence and awe and devotion. The very throne where this second created heavenly beings are praising Him for His power and His glory and His might. It's where created beings singing this song of salvation. And we're, Lord willing, we're going to spend eternity joining into that new song, joining into that very chorus of praise. That's where we go. So let's appreciate prayer. Let's remember how we get there. Look in 1 Timothy 2. Sounds like a pretty nice place to be, right? Our prayers allow us to go to the throne of God? How in the world is that possible? If someone was to tell you, I'm going to Australia, and you say, well, how are you going to get there? Because I'm starting in Atlanta, and then I'm going here, and then I'm going there, and then I'm going to make it. You and I can go to the throne of the Creator. How are you going to get there? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the one Himself, Christ Jesus. Remember where we are when we pray. Hopefully that'll make us appreciate it more. Remember how it's possible. Remember how we get to that throne. It's because Jesus, as our mediator, allows us through Him to come to the presence of God. And so let's respect that privilege. Let's appreciate that. And think of prayer with the heartfelt praise that it deserves and the thanksgiving that we ought to be joining in with that incredible chorus of praise of Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. Let's respect the privilege and not think of it as a pep talk. Not think of it as a lucky charm. Not consider it to be some last grasp, last resort, ace in the hole when everything I've done didn't work out. No, we get to go to the throne of the Creator because of the land that sits beside Him, and He would hear and listen and care about anything that we might lay out. What an incredible thing. Those are some reminders of what prayer is. What are some things I can do to improve my private prayers? Turn to James chapter 1. Before we get to the collectivity, let's look at ourselves first. What can I do to improve my prayer life? Well, first of all, greater faith is necessary. Doesn't it sound ridiculous to be talking to Christians and to have to broach the subject of, you know, some people pray but they really don't believe it works. Some people pray but they don't believe there's any power to that. Some people pray but they really don't believe God answers and hears. And there's a part of us that would say, no, that can't be right. No Christian's going to believe that. Yeah. In the first century, that was reality. Look in James chapter 1, verse 6. Ask in faith, not wavering, not doubting. He that waves is like a wave of sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Yeah, there were first century Christians who had apparently praying, but there's not really any power behind it. They don't have a lot of faith in that. There's doubt, even though they might be actively doing it. He said, there's no power to that. He said, that's just, it's like the waves that come in. We've all been at the sea, and you see the water comes in, and then there it goes. And your feet are wet, and now all you're just standing in the sand. And then here it comes, and there it goes. So that's the character trait of such a person. And you want to have how blunt the answer to how worthful that is? Useless. That type of prayer life is useless. And if someone's thinking, well, that's awful bold, you don't need to be talking like that. That's what the Spirit told us. Look in verse 7. Do not let that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. No, that's how bold the Spirit was. That's how clear this was. Ask in faith without doubting, or you will receive nothing. How can we improve our prayer life? We trust and we have faith in everything God told us about what prayer is, about where it goes, and about how they get there. We trust. How can I improve my prayer life? I can have some greater humility. I want to remind you some well-familiarized verse. Self-sufficiency will destroy your prayer life. It'll destroy my prayer life. Luke chapter 18 is the parable of this prayer. Oh, Lord, I am so glad I'm not like that publican over there. I fast all this. I give him my... If you'd have turned to Luke chapter 18 and remind yourself of that prayer and looked over it, what you will find is, and you probably already remembered this, what you'll find is he didn't ask for a thing. And the reality is, he didn't think he needed anything. I got this, God. As a matter of fact, you know, you're pretty lucky to have me on your side. Self-sufficiency will destroy our prayer life. Because as soon as we start thinking that we have earned everything and we deserve everything and we've got everything figured out today and tomorrow and all next year and all through retirement and I've got it all worked out. I have built my bigger barns. When we think that we've got all the answers, we will stop praying because we don't need Him. Humility. Is that not what we see with Paul? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, fervently praying for this thorn to be removed, yet content with the answer that no. You know, it's easy to be content when the answer is yes. We work on being content when the answer maybe is maybe or wait. Sometimes the answer is no. Are we humble enough to accept that and to recognize the one who sits on the throne knows all things? Above and beyond what we can even imagine. And we, greater faith, we trust Him. Greater humility. How about greater thankfulness? This might be our problem. It's not that we don't believe in the power of faith. It's not that we've lost faith in prayer or that God hears us. It's not that we have become some arrogant, buffoonish, I've got all the answers. It's not that we become self-sufficient. But what happens so slightly, so secretly that we might not even catch it, we just get busy with life. And we've got all these things that we have to do, and we've just got all these things on the docket, and our calendar's full up, and our day is full up. Many of you might know today that tomorrow, Lord willing, if you wake up, you are hammered. You are just slammed full all day long. And what happens when we get in the middle of one of those cycles is we just forget about the blessings that we got every day. So busy. And so active. And they might, I'm not talking about simple things. It's just things that pile up. And we forget to count the blessings. We forget to see what we have every day. If I can, if my faith grows, if my humility will grow, if my thankfulness grows, what do you think will happen? I appreciate you more. And I love him more. And I'm becoming more and more like his son. I will talk to him more. You will too. These are some things I can do. These are some things you can do. And the beauty of individual prayer is there's not a person in this world you're dependent upon. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you need to do this, but you can't do it because this hasn't been done yet? You're waiting on somebody else to get their part done so then you can carry out your part. Or something similar to that. There have been times in all of our lives we are dependent on somebody else. And there's not a thing in the world we can do about it. If I am failing in my private prayer life, do you know who's in control of that? Me and me alone. I'm not dependent on you. I'm not dependent on the government. I'm not dependent on family. I'm not dependent on anything, and neither are you. When we're talking about individual, private prayer life, me and you are the only one who can do anything in this world about it. And here's some things we can do about it. But now, having reminded where we are and how we get there and the great blessing that it is, and then how we can be better at it, more mindful of it. This is, prayer is, an authorized part of when we come together. We have apostolic examples of that. We have approval of that. If we can improve in our prayers, our worship improves. And as we studied this morning, the God of heaven and earth deserves the best worship we can give him. This very second, heavenly beings are praising him because of his power and glory. We, down here, earthly creation, praising him for his power and his glory. The better we do that, the more he deserves it, and we want to be as good as we can at it. And that's what this is about. How can we, in our prayer life, public prayers, the prayers when we are together in the collectivity, can we improve in such a setting? Well, it comes down to two groups, as you would expect. The first one being those who are leading us in prayer. We won't turn to Matthew chapter 6, but I'll remind you what it was. Matthew chapter 6 was Jesus rebuking the ones who would go to the street corners and they were praying for show. Praying to be looked at. Praying to get the honor of man. Those who lead us in prayer. You are speaking to God on the behalf of others. So with our leaders, pray. Lead us. Praying with the Spirit. Praying out of sincerity. Praying not to be heard of men, but praying to the throne of God on the behalf of others. We talk about song leaders, and we talk about those who lead us in prayer. The song leader is leading us in song. Those who lead us in prayer, we don't call it that phrase, but they are our prayer leader. their thoughts leading us as we go to that throne. Keep in mind the group as you lead us. Those of this group sick. Those of this group hurting. Those of this group heart on the floor. Those of this group upcoming surgeries. Those of this group struggling. They expect it. I don't think it's not a misplaced expectation. When we ask people to be mindful of those that we love, those that we are aware of, sometimes an announcement is made about it, but then the prayer doesn't reflect that. We think about what we call the golden rule, do unto others. When in your family, serious need of prayers, and a request is made, and then that request is ignored. Remember who we're praying for. Remember those of this, as John did this morning, people whom we are supporting, men all over the globe that we're in fellowship with. Let's remember them. Let's remember the upcoming events that we have that this church is engaged in, a meeting that's coming up, and various other things, home studies that take place, and so on. But remember the group as you lead us in our prayers. Remember what the prayer is about. An opening prayer is different than a prayer prior to the Lord's Supper. The prayer prior to the Lord's Supper is different from a prayer of dismissal. Have you ever heard a prayer of the Lord's Supper where God is thanked for the beauty of the day and for this? We thank Him for everything except what we're about to engage in. Sometimes that happens. Not here. I've never heard that here. But I'm sure if you visit around, you have heard that and noticed that. Let's remember, be mindful of what we are praying for, what we're praying about. And then remember, you are leading. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. A couple of applications that can be made here. The big picture of 1 Corinthians 14 is specifically referring to spiritual gifts, to the point of speaking in tongues. But there's some applications that can be made that would apply to us today. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. Well, that's what we talked about earlier. We're talking to God. We're not on the street corner just trying to be heard. Not just doing it for show. We're praying in spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. I will pray with the mind. Verse 16. When you were blessed with the Spirit, how will he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of the thanks, seeing he does not understand what you said? For you verily gave thanks well, but the others are not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue. Just the key though was a misuse of spiritual gifts. But we can make some applications. Paul writes to them, says, we pray with the Spirit. Our mind's engaged. He said that there has to be the ability for those that are being led to say amen. Others have to be able to hear, is the point. Necessarily inferred in leading one in prayer is that the one being led in prayer can hear that. And there are some whose voice just does not carry. So be aware of that and acknowledge that and use a microphone. The table has one. There's a handheld one. Some voices just boom. But if not, make sure that you're able to be heard. Again, back to the doing to others. There are people in this assembly right now. Every time we're together, they put the headphones on because they want to hear. Age has taken away that ability. They don't hear as good as they used to. They want to hear. do unto others, if should the day come, and I get to the point where I can't hear, but I want to hear. And so I put the headphones on. If I want that done for me, I need to be willing to do that for others. We need to be heard, because it's paramount in leading that others hear you so that they can say amen to that. That was the point that Paul was making here. It's not the time. I would rather speak 5 words than 10,000 words that goes ununderstood. It's not the time to show off our vocabulary. It's not the time to show off a PhD. We're leading others in prayer. And have you ever heard a prayer and all of a sudden you just completely lose train of thought because a word is said and some, what? What does that mean? And then you have to kind of throw a little rewind button in there and try to figure out by context. Maybe, well, I guess it means that. It's hard enough to stay focused when we pray. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause a distraction. We want to be heard and we want to be understood. Those are things that we can do as leaders. Is it possible to improve in these things? Yeah, these are not hard. We can improve. What about the listeners? Well, we have to, the very same list starts the very same way. We have to pray. Look at Acts chapter 8. Like chapter 8, a familiar phrase that we are familiar with. I'm guessing we have all used it for ourselves. Acts chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer has already tried to buy and bribe the apostles for the power to impart gifts and strong rebuke. You have neither part in a lot in this matter. When Peter got through rebuking him, we see some repentance. We see some humility, some sorrow. And in verse 24, Simon said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things that you've spoken will come to me." Peter, please pray for me. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to have, I don't want to be an impure heart anymore. Pray for me. We know what that phrase means. We use it and we use it and we use it. But in reality, it's not possible. It's no more possible for literally somebody to pray for you than it is for somebody to breathe for you. Could you imagine? I need you to breathe for me. They can't breathe for you. And when we use the phrase pray for you, pray for me, what that's really saying is pray on my behalf. Lead me in this prayer. But nobody can pray for me any more than they can breathe for me. And so I ask you to pray for me, and you lead me in prayer. But my mind better be engaged. You mean 1 Corinthians 14? We're going to pray with the Spirit, and we're going to pray with understanding. When we are being led in prayer, they're not praying for you. They are leading you as you say your own prayer. Do we see how that works? The song leader does not sing for you. He leads you as you engage in your own song of worship. The one who leads us in prayer leads us as we, by faith, put ourselves around the throne of God. And we humble ourselves to the one who is worthy to receive praise and honor and glory. They lead us there. Do not think that prayer is rest time. Do not think that prayer is just this wad of space that you're not active in. He's leading us, so he's busy, and I'm okay. We're being led in prayer, but we all are praying. As simple as that is, that's where we have to start at. Nobody can pray for us. It's not a spectator sport. So how can my prayers get better? I listen better. I engage. It is easy, so easy, for the mind to wander. We mentioned earlier that the responsibility of the leader is to be heard so that all can say amen. The word amen literally means let it be. I agree. Me and you cannot say amen to a prayer that we were not paying attention to. We don't know if we agree or not. We have to pay attention. We have to listen. And the mind is so easy to wander. And I remember it made a big impact on me. But things that we can do, hopefully, to control our mind wandering, and it's going to happen to the best. But when it happens, don't let it become a habit. Don't let it just go unchecked. Bring it back in. And a way that we hopefully can maybe get a little better at that is recognize when the topics change. Most prayers are going to go from one topic to a next. Private prayers, public prayers, it's immaterial. Unless you're doing a really quick hitter where you're just praying for one specific thing only, chances are there's going to be a change of thoughts. Be aware when those change of thoughts come. I remember, if we had kids, they were really young. But there was a visitor with us that sat right smack in front of us one night. This was a long time ago. Never saw him before, never saw him again. But he was there, he sat in front of us, and as the prayers was led, and something was prayed for in front, just to the song. Yes. And then something else would be. Yes. And then something else. Yes. I doubt anybody else ever heard him. I heard him because he was about that far from me. But that was a man engaged. That was a man praying. Another was leading, but he was listening. And when this went, yes, yes, yes. And I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying we can do it. We can pay attention. As easy as the mind wanders, it doesn't have to. As easy it is to get lost out in track of what we have to be doing 5 hours from now, we can pull it back. Leader's responsibility is to lead. Our responsibility is to follow. And if where he's leading us is right, then amen that and agree with that and yes that or nod your head to that or whatever it is. But I can pay attention. I can listen better. My prayers can be better. Turn to James chapter 5. James 5. Another memory verse. And I'll just confess to you, I memorized it long before it really had the impact on me that it should have. We're talking about prayers today. James ending the letter with the power of prayer. Just to show you some of how this letter ends. In James chapter 5, look in verse 13. I'm not going to read the words. I'm just going to skim through these verses. Verse 13, pray. Verse 14, about halfway down, pray. Verse 16, pray, prayer. Verse 17, prayed. Verse 18, prayed. You think there's a grand crescendo of conclusion coming along here? Prayer is front and center as James closes this letter. And in the middle of that, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I remember, I memorized that last phrase long, long, long ago, just like many of you did. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Yes. So thankful for that. I don't know how many years, it wasn't weeks or months, years, I could quote it. I didn't know what fervent meant. I just never thought about it. You can tell by the context that whatever effectual fervent prayer meant, it must be pretty serious. It must be focused. But could you define it? Could you define it? Even this second. There was a time I could quote it, but I couldn't define it. I finally wrote it down so I won't forget it anymore. Fervent means warmth of feeling. The effectual warmth of feeling. Does that describe my prayers? Does that describe your prayers? That there's this warmth of feeling. There's this, I can't wait. I am so thankful. There is power in fervent prayer. You believe that? I believe that. Now here's the question. If my prayers become more fervent, your prayers become more fervent, all 107 prayers, we become more fervent. What kind of much could be about? You see, that's how serious this is. This is not just some academic study of maybe we can get better at our prayer life. No, there is fruit to this. If I pray better, if your prayers are better, if ours are more fervent, more warmth of feeling, more humble, more submissive, more thankful, more. What does that do for us as a group? Our worship improves. God is worthy of that. But even we receive blessings from it. Get your song books out. It's exciting to think what can happen if our prayer lives improve. Our worship improves collectively, and our spiritual welfare individually. How much stronger will we be if our prayer life improves? Just as an aside, think back to your life. We talk about maybe the roller coaster or the ups and downs, peaks and valleys of life. You think back to your valleys. Think back to your bottom pits of the roller coasters. Guarantees we weren't praying much in those times. Some of those weak spots probably were some of the times we were maybe most neglectful in our prayer life. This second, heavenly beings praising God in prayer. What a wonderful thing to think me and you, through Jesus our intercessor, can do the same thing. Blows the mind out. Let's appreciate it, and let's not be negligent in it anymore. Those that are not Christians, but you know who Jesus is. I know you do. But you've never confessed Him as your King. You haven't repented of your sins, and you hadn't been baptized to wash those sins away. You should have already done that. But you're still here, and you can take advantage of that today. Today's a day of salvation. For those of us that maybe are like Simon, we need to have some prayers on our behalf. We're ready to help you. We're ready to do that. Do it while we stand and sing.